When I preached in Florence, Alabama, there was an older couple there by the name of Charlie and Alta who had their 70th wedding anniversary. And so we made an announcement about it, the opening remarks about congratulations to Brother Charlie and Sister Alta on their 70th wedding anniversary. There was a young man sitting on about the first or second row, and he was about 10 or years old or so at the time, and he turned around, and I was sitting behind, about two rows behind Charlie and Alta, and he turned around from where he was sitting and looked over at them, and his eyes were this huge, and he said, "How old?" I don't know if they heard him or not, but a lot of us did. Old, you know, we assign a little bit of a negative connotation to being old, and yet we understand that it is a blessing often when we live many years and that we can bless others that way, and yet we also know something else. Last Sunday morning, we looked at a text in Hebrews chapter 9, the last four verses of that chapter. And today, we want to revisit that to look at the second half of it, because last Sunday, we talked about three appearances of Christ that are mentioned in Hebrews 9, verses 24 through 28. But there's something more there than just the appearances of Christ that we want to talk about. And this morning, we want to talk about the appointment that you and I have that's mentioned in Hebrews 9:27. Hebrews 9:27 says, "Is as it is appointed unto man once to die." And you may be old, you may be young, you may be somewhere in between. "But as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment." That's our appointment. Most of our appointments in this life are optional. Most of them we can choose whether or not we want to go or not, but not this one that Hebrews 9 is talking about. This is not an optional appointment, because all men will die. In the book of Genesis, chapter 5, it tells us about the lives of many of the patriarchs. Very little information, actually, but it tells us when they were born, when they fathered the oldest child, and then when they died. And we read about a man there named Methuselah, and he lived 969 years, the oldest recorded patriarch person in the history of the world. 969 years. But Genesis 5, verse 27, ends his life with these words, "And he died." As is appointed unto man once to die, even though you may be the oldest living person, there's still an appointment. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 2, King David, who had lived only about 70 years, said, "I go the way of all the earth." This appointment is inevitable. This appointment is unavoidable. All man has an appointment. And what we want to talk about this morning is his appearance and our appointment. Because when you read verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 9, it talks about that Jesus will come a second time, that he will appear a second time for judgment. You see, it's appointed for us once to die, and Jesus will make a final appearance for mankind in regard to the judgment day. And so what's going to happen at that appearance? What about our appointment? His appearance and our appointment. Well, what we want to do this morning is discuss from this text and some others that are connected to it, four things that Jesus will do when he appears, when we meet our appointment at his appearance. Four things that will happen at the appointment we will fulfill at his appearing. Number one, Jesus will raise us. He will raise us at his appearing. This is our appointment. It's appointed for us once to die, yes. But then there's an appearance after that and an appointment at judgment day. Notice that Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed in a man wants to die, but then look at those last four words, after this, the judgment. See, we're going to appear also at that judgment with Christ. This is an appointment we cannot avoid. This is an appointment that we cannot choose to do something else instead of. This is an appointment that is unavoidable and inevitable. So, number one, at that appearance and our appointment, Jesus will raise us. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We've already heard a few verses from this chapter read this morning. But we especially want to emphasize some things from this chapter, primarily just by looking at the text. In fact, in much of what we say this morning, we're going to let the Bible speak to us about the things that Jesus is going to do at our appointment that will be fulfilled in His appearance. And the text of the Bible and the verses of the Bible can teach us so very much if we just listen to them and apply them in a heart of faith and understanding. And yet, there is much to be said from the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll not read the entire chapter, but we do want to begin reading in verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. We'll read down and then take a break from that context and move into the latter part of the chapter to read some more about this first point, which is what? He will raise us. If we've died and we're in the grave, wherever that grave may be and whatever form we may be in, at that appearance of Jesus, He will raise us. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning at verse 19. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable or miserable. If this life is all it's about, if this is all we have and there is no more after this, then the Bible says that's a pathetic thing. That's a miserable thing that would put us in a state of severe misery. But now, verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man, Jesus the man, also came the resurrection from the dead, the Son of Man, bringing back the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, physical man, in Christ, spiritual man, all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at His coming. Then comes the end. That's pretty clear, I think. There are those in the religious world who would tell us that after the coming of Christ, there'll be another judgment day, there'll be another period of time that man will live on the earth and exist and so on. But this tells us, then comes what? The end. This is judgment day, Hebrews 9, verse 28. The day where we will appear at His appearing because it's been appointed to us to die, and after this, the judgment. Then comes the end. That is the last day. This is the last time. The end. And at that time, when it tells us in verse 24, when He delivers the kingdom of God the Father, when He puts an end to all rule and authority and power, for He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For He has put all things under His feet. But when He says all things are put under Him, it is evident that He who put all things under Him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. You see, we're talking about the end. We're talking about what God is going to do. We're talking about what Jesus is going to do at Judgment Day. Then comes the judgment. He will appear the second time for this judgment. If you will, move down to verse 35 in our chapter we're reading from in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 35. The question is asked. Someone will say, how are the dead raised up? with what body do they come? We have many questions about this, but the text says, foolish one, in response, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. For instance, you're going to grow corn. You don't take the corn plant and stick it down in the ground. What do you put in the ground? The seed. You don't plant the product, you plant the seed, you plant the grain, you plant a very small part of it, but God gives it a body, verse 38. God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh, now let's move from the illustration about the plant world to the human world, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Now we're to the human body. Also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. The body dies. It is appointed unto man wants to die. The physical body dies and it becomes corrupt very quickly. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. Remember at the last day, the appointment that we have that will be fulfilled at His appearance, He will raise us. This is what this text is telling us. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised, do you see how many times that word's occurring? How many times that verb is occurring? It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, and as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly man. Now, verse 50. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. He's going to raise us, remember? We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. You see, when Jesus comes, and when we have that appointment fulfilled at His appearance, He will raise us. But number two, there are four things, and here's the second one. Number two, and it's sort of a multiple choice. You got two options here on number two. He will either redeem us or reject us. Remember what it says there after this, the judgment? We're talking about judgment day. And the Bible tells us after this, it is the judgment. If it's appointed for us to die, and we know that this is unavoidable, doesn't it make sense to get ready for that day? To get ready for that appointment? And the Bible tells us, and we'll look at some other passages here in a moment, that on that day, at that judgment, after he has raised us, he's either going to, number one, redeem us, or secondly, reject us. Which one? The Bible reaffirms this in several places. Acts 17, verse 31. Acts 17, verse 31 says, because he has appointed a day, there's the appointment again, he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he has raised him from the dead. So the day has been appointed. Death has been appointed. Judgment day is an absolute certainty, and it will be by that man he has raised from the dead, Jesus the Christ, our Savior, the Messiah. And on that day of judgment, we're either going to be rejected or we're going to be redeemed. We further read in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. All. Everyone. No exceptions. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether it be good or bad. Further, we read in the Scriptures in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And based on that judgment, we are going to be redeemed or we're going to be rejected. We further read in the Bible in Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 12, about the last four verses of the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. John writes, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. They've been raised, now it's judgment. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And so at judgment day, at this appointment that we will fulfill when Jesus fulfills his appearance on judgment day, as it is appointed in a man once to die and after this to judgment, on that day, number one, yes, Christ will raise us, but secondly, he's either going to redeem us, buy us back, or he's going to reject us. I think that's very clear from the Scriptures that we have read, and we could add many more to it, but sufficient for our point this morning are these verses that we have read to remind us on Judgment Day there can be rejection or there can be redemption. Number three, a third thing that will happen that Jesus will do at the appointment that he will fulfill at his appearance, the appointment we have that will be fulfilled at his appearance, he will receive us. Now I'm talking about those on that judgment day who have been redeemed, not those who have been rejected. First, he raises us. Secondly, he either redeems us or rejects us. But for those who are redeemed, number three, he receives us. We referred to the passage that Jesus spoke in John, as recorded in John 14, about the first 4 to 6 verses last Sunday. But to remind us again, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, since I go is really what he means, since I go, I will come again and what? Receive you to myself. Jesus will receive the redeemed. when He returns. He will raise them, redeem them, and receive them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is perhaps only second to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about some things we learn concerning Judgment Day and the resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, as we continue to reinforce this point about being received by Jesus on Resurrection Day, on Judgment Day, redeemed by Jesus, raised by Jesus, and now received by Jesus, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13, "But I do not want you to be ignorant or unaware, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep or those who have died. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those, or we who are alive and remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." You see, He's going to receive us. And at that judgment day, He's going to raise us, He's going to redeem us, and He's going to receive us. If we happen to still be living, 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us, if we happen to still be living when Jesus returns, and we have not, we don't make that appointment with death, this is the only way you can get around it, you're still alive when the Lord returns, it says that judgment for those who have been raised from the dead will be first, and then those who are still alive on the earth will meet them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's going to receive us. He raises us. He redeems us. And then He receives us. And then, number four, He relocates us. 1 Thessalonians 4 says you leave the earth. You leave the grave. You leave the earth. You meet the Lord in the clouds. And He's going to relocate us. No longer do we have to worry about this earth. No longer do we have to worry about this life. Jesus is taking us to a new place. Remember what He said in John 14? "My Father's house are many mansions, lots of rooms, plenty of room, and I'm going to bring you there. I'm going there to prepare the place and coming back to bring you there. I'm going to relocate you from where you are, and I'm going to take you where I am. I'm going to change everything that you've ever known. It's all that you've hoped and dreamed for and your faith has pushed for." And 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, "you've comforted one another with, but one day it's going to be a reality because I'm going to relocate you." You know, how many times are we reminded in the Bible, like Revelation 20, 2 Peter chapter 3, about the new heavens and the new earth, the new place where you and I are going when we're raised, redeemed, and received and relocated? The new home where God is, where Jesus is. You know, they say in the real estate world, the operative phrase is location, location, location. Whether you're building a business, buying or building a house, the key thing is the location. And let me tell you something. Never has the phrase location, location, location been more vital than eternity. You know, you go back to the second point we made. We have built off that point about those who've been redeemed. But remember, there are some who will be rejected. Jesus talks about this in Matthew chapter 7 when he says there are many who will choose the broad path that leads to destruction, and few, though, choose the narrow path that leads to life eternal. Look, those two roads are leading to different places, opposite directions. Location, location, location. On Judgment Day, remember Hebrews 9:27, where we started this morning, after this, the judgment. Judgment Day is coming. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. It's unavoidable. It is inevitable. Prepare for that day. Because one day, Jesus is going to raise us. And one day at judgment, he's either going to redeem you or reject you. And when we have read that the books were open and we have read what that judgment is based on, it is how I have lived in this life. Yes, we are dependent wholly and solely on God's grace in so many ways. But that grace is based on how I have lived. And will God's grace redeem me? Or will it not allow him to, and he will reject me? Will you be received by Jesus? Because I tell you, this last point that we've worked on here for a moment or two, number four, about relocating. Yes, Jesus will relocate us. The new heaven, the new earth is what we've talked about in the redeemed. But there's another location. There's another place where Jesus says many will be relocated. You don't want to go there. You don't want that to be your final destination. You don't want that to be your location for eternity. Be redeemed by obeying the gospel. Be saved by putting your faith and hope in Jesus Christ, turning from your sins, being buried with him in baptism, and added to his kingdom, and walk faithfully, and live faithfully, and die faithfully, so that one day we may be raised faithfully, redeemed faithfully, received faithfully, and relocated faithfully to ever live with God. So shall we ever be with the Lord. This morning, if you're ready to take those steps, would you come as we stand and we sing?